Is justification by works in James 2:24 really another type of sanctification? Well, that's what we're going to discuss on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. For a little while now, we have been doing question and answer. And where do those questions come from, you may wonder? They come from listeners just like you. If you've got a question, send us an email. It's radio@faithalone.org. Let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
Now, we're here to answer your questions about the Bible and theology, and we welcome you to send them to us at radio@faithalone.org. And here is a question from Colby. All right, Colby asks, is the justification by works in James 2:24 really another type of sanctification? Earlier in James 2:14, is the faith that saves there referring to temporal salvation? So this is kind of an interesting question. So first of all, what is sanctification?
Well, there's three aspects of sanctification which you can read about in our journal, past, present, and future.
Right.
What most people mean by sanctification is present sanctification, which is the work of the Spirit in our lives to move us toward greater Christ-likeness, greater holiness.
Some people have described it as Christ taking away the power of sin in our life. Justification is taking away the penalty of sin, and sanctification is taking the power of sin, and then glorification is taking away the presence of sin.
Right. Now, I'm not sure that's completely accurate,
yeah,
because the power of sin is not done away. However, if we walk in the Spirit, then I suppose you could say the power of sin,
yeah,
or the power of the flesh is overcome. Romans chapter 8, who will deliver me from this body of death?
Right.
And it's the work of the Spirit in our lives to give us the proper mindset, which renews our mind, transforms our behavior.
Yeah.
Romans 12, 2.
But it is this behavior transformation, I think, is kind of at the center of
it. It is. It's not guaranteed, but it is what God is moving us toward. And if you look at James 2:24, I wouldn't translate this probably as justified. I'd translate it probably as vindicated.
Mm-hmm.
But can you read that one?
Sure. You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. Or we would say, you see that a man is vindicated by works and not by faith only.
Yeah. Now, the only problem with translating it vindicated is what James is trying to do here is kind of make a play on words. He is discussing two different types of justification, one before God, one before man. Well, justification before God is not vindication, but justification before man is vindication. So probably in English, you have to use the word justified to cover both meanings, because to be justified before men is a legitimate use of the word justify.
Right.
But if I was just talking about Abraham being, quote unquote, justified before men, I'd use the word vindicated. But anyway, here the point is that there's two justifications. The word only at the end of the verse is monon, which is an adverb. It modifies justified. So a man is justified by works and not only justified by faith.
It's kind of like saying, at our house, we don't eat breakfast only.
Right.
We also eat lunch and we also eat dinner.
Right. So there's two types of justification.
And Paul talks about those two types of justification.
If you look at, yeah, Romans chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, Paul talks about the same basic idea.
Yeah, he says, what then shall we say? That Abraham our father has found according to the flesh. If Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. So if he can't be justified before God by his works, then who can be justified
before men? And of course, that's commonly known that in Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, Abraham is regarded as not only a righteous man,
yeah,
but one of the most righteous men of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
And him offering up Isaac, which is what James 2:24 is talking about,
yeah,
was certainly a demonstration of his righteousness. Of course, in Islam, it's Abraham offering up Ishmael.
Right.
The Quran changes it from Isaac to Ishmael. But the point is the same,
right,
that he's vindicated by his piety.
Now, some people might be asking, what does vindication mean?
Okay, well, basically, to be vindicated is the same, essentially, as what you would say a person is justified before God. They are declared righteous.
So that's okay. Justification.
That's justification.
That's imputed justification. That's what Paul talks about. God sees you. You're a sinner. There's nothing perfect about you. But because you've believed in Jesus, God justifies you. He imputes righteousness to you
right.
through faith apart from your works.
Right. Now, in terms of humans, it's quite similar. If you were in a court of law and you were found not guilty, then you're vindicated from your crime. It doesn't mean you're found to be righteous because you can be found not guilty because the evidence was insufficient to prove you did it, even though everybody might know you did it. You know, they're convinced you did
it. Do you think that's what it means? I kind of see it more like, I told you I was right, and here you go. I told you I was innocent, and see, I've been vindicated because the court has found me innocent.
All right, let me give you an example. O.J. Simpson. O.J. Simpson was found not guilty.
Well, I wouldn't say he was vindicated, though.
I would say he was vindicated by at least a lot of people in the United States felt that O.J. Simpson was vindicated.
Okay.
Certainly the jury felt he was vindicated.
Yeah.
But, of course, after he then later was involved in trying to steal back some of his own memorabilia and
right.
then spent time in prison, it got a little murkier.
Uh-huh.
So maybe I'm spinning my wheels here a bit. But anyway, vindication before men is I am found to be in the right
in
some sense.
Yeah, yeah.
What I'm saying is it doesn't necessarily mean the person is a good person or the person is a
right.
righteous person.
Right.
It just means they're found to be in the right concerning
okay.
whatever this crime is.
Sure. Coming back to Colby's question, would we say that that is part of sanctification?
Well, it's related to sanctification. Colby's right there. It's not sanctification. But if we're going to just place everything either in justification or sanctification,
yeah.
and it's kind
yeah.
of hard
That's
to say
iffy.
That everything falls in those categories.
Right. I guess maybe you can say that vindication before men is part of living the Christian life. And so maybe you can say, you know, in terms of living the Christian, I would almost say this is more apologetics than sanctification. But
well, see, that's an interesting question. How many categories are there? Certainly apologetics would be a category.
Right.
You know, and apologetics, by the way, doesn't mean we're apologizing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It comes from the word, Greek word for defense.
Right.
And apologetics is the defense of the faith.
Or giving evidence for the faith or something.
Right. And so like Norm Geisler was a well-known apologist. He was a well-known defender of the faith. He
right.
defended the inerrancy of Scripture. There's no errors in Scripture.
Right.
He defended the bodily resurrection of Jesus from the dead on
sure.
the third day. A great apologist, and we should all be. Is being an apologist, defending the faith, is that part of sanctification? Sure. But
yeah.
is that sanctification exclusively?
Not really. I mean, it's part of Christian living, but not everything part of Christian living is the doctrine of sanctification.
Well,
that's like its own thing.
How about the creation account? Is
yeah,
that sanctification
yeah.
or justification? Well, I mean, it is. It's telling us history. It's telling us what happened. Now, of course, it can lead to either our justification or sanctification. If I believe that God is the creator and I'm accountable to him, then that
yeah.
should lead me to church or to a Christian
yeah.
and to hear the message of John 3:16 that whoever believes in him will not perish but has everlasting life.
Right.
You know, the creation account could lead me to be justified, but it could also lead the believer to be sanctified because I could say, hey, God
sure.
is my creator. And I hallow him, I honor him, I praise him, and I live for him because he's the one to whom I'm accountable.
All right, well, let me tie it together then. I can see then that it's good to be vindicated before men. I think we can agree that's
right.
what James is teaching. And so maybe that desire to want to be vindicated before men might be a help to you in your sanctification because you're going to want to be more like Christ in order to be known as a friend of God the way Abraham was to
that's
be vindicated.
That's a good point. And we should pick up Colby's question about 2:14.
So in 2:14 he asks, is the faith that saves referring to temporal salvation? So salvation is not always about avoiding hell and going to heaven or having eternal life. You have a great chapter on this in your book, 10 Most Misunderstood Words. In fact, salvation, for the most part, does not refer to eternal salvation. It mostly refers to being delivered from things in this life.
Right. In the Old Testament, 100% of the time, it's some sort of temporal deliverance. In the New Testament, 70% of the time, it's some sort of temporal deliverance. Only 30% of the time in the New Testament is it referring to regeneration.
Right.
Like John 3:17 refers to regeneration. Ephesians 2:8 refers to regeneration. But those are rare verses. And so, yes, Colby's right. This is referring to a temporal deliverance, deliverance in time, in this life.
Yeah.
And all five uses of sozo, or to be saved, in James are like that. 121, 214, 412, 515, and 519 and 20. All of those five uses refer to being delivered from the deadly consequences of sin.
Right.
What we need to recognize is that when we see the word save or when we see the word justify, we always need to look at the context. So
yes.
Colby's raising questions on two important words, both of which can be misunderstood in James 2.
That's right. Justify or vindicated, and as well as salvation. It always amazes me how God, you know, he's not just concerned with your eternal destiny. He really is concerned with what is happening to you right here, right now, in your life, in Christ. You know, and God really cares about that, and God has a lot to say about it.
That's absolutely right. Our church has been reading through the Old Testament. We just finished Jeremiah and Lamentation, and now we're in Ezekiel.
Yeah.
And all through there, you see God talking about Israel and how he regrets having to pour judgment upon Israel. Mm. But Israel is reaping what it sowed, all this idolatry, rebellion against God, and they're going to go into exile, and then he will bring them back. So God is concerned about our here and now, just like he was concerned about Israel's current experience in this life.
Well, if you're interested in reading more about James, we have a great commentary by Zane Hodges on James called The Epistle of James, Proven Character Through Testing.
Right.
And that's available at our website. For a lot of people, understanding James in this way really unlocks God's grace.
That's a good point. So just go to faithalone.org.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about what it would mean to have ongoing assurance. So tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.